Thoughts are things, and I make my thoughts magic ones. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byer, the Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Thoughts are things, and I make my thoughts magic ones. You know, you have all sorts of inspirations for doing things and saying things, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and pricks your balloon, and you say to yourself, oh my goodness sakes, it is going to be really something to get the balloon blown back up again when it's been pricked. You know, have you ever had a pricked balloon? It's a balloon that's unprickable. So you have to go into the closet and reach up on the shelf and take down a new box of balloons and pick out the color you want. Now, I'm going to take a beautiful green balloon. It's just grass green. It's just as nice as it can be. And I'm going to fill it with helium. And so, as I hold it here with my string on the balloon, it just floats above my head and reminds me of all the beautiful green things in life. Now, thoughts are things, and I make my thoughts magic ones. Now, each one of you went with me into the closet after you had saw my balloon pricked. And you saw me choose the balloon, and you saw me bring it down, put some helium in it, you saw me put a string on it, and have it hanging in front of me here. Now, that's kind of magical. That's kind of magical when you realize that there's no closet, there are no balloons, there's no string, and there's no helium, and yet we have it right here in front of us. Now, Ingeborg, what color is the balloon?
Green.
See, she even knows it's green. Ingeborg is the one who is always being so definite that if you can't see it, you don't get it, you know. So she saw it was green because I said it was green. Now, magic is something that we make out of our consciousness, out of our minds. We make it out of our thoughts. Magic is not something unusual. It's not something strange. As little children, we start out saying magical things. And what really is magic? Now think about it. Little children talk about magical things. They talk about their little friends that you can't see, and they're very real. They talk about the little adventures they go on, and they're very real. They talk about the things that are going on in their mind, and that's very real. Now, books on psychology will say parents should cooperate with the children who are having these fantasies and who are having these imaginary friends and imaginary things going on in their world, but not to the point of making the children feel that they are really for real, but just to let the children know that it's okay to have fantasy in your consciousness. It's okay to have fantasy in your thought. And so they limit the children by not encouraging them with that fantasy, because they will never be, and what's her name? They will never be a woman who wrote Harry Potter. This woman was a child in her home, as could be understood. And as she was a little child, she had the most fantastic fantasies that you could ever imagine. She had dreams, and she had wanderings, and she was just doing all sorts of stuff. And her parents would say, get real, get real. And it made her even more magical. And so she would go off by herself, and she would write, and she would do all sorts of things. And she wasn't very good. But she wrote, and she wrote down her ideas, which were just fantastic. And then later, as she went through high school, she wrote about her fantasies, and everybody poo-pooed her fantasies and said, don't bother with that. Don't bother with that. That's foolishness. Now, be realistic, you know. And so she went on to become a journalist and a secretary, and she worked in this field very moderately successful. But she would go up to her attic, if you will, in England, and she would go into the upper room by herself, not even telling her daughter about it, and whatever happened to her husband, I don't know, but not even telling her daughter about it. And she would write, and she would write, and she would write. And then one day she brought one of her stories down and read it to her daughter, and her daughter says, Mom, that's neat, that's neat. And then she read it to a friend, and the friend says, why, that's way out. Oh, that is That would make a great movie. Oh, that would be a great book. Oh, hey, that's great. Let's see if some publisher might like to have it. You got more of those stories? Yeah, I got a couple boxes of them. Well, golly, let's go. And so they went to a publisher. And the publisher, it took a little while, but they found a publisher who was interested in the book. And today, she is the second richest woman in the world. And she is the first most famous woman in the world. And she has the best-selling book. Her books are the best-selling books on the market for year after year after year. And her books are recommended that they be read in the elementary schools, in the junior schools, and in the senior schools. That they're recommended to be read. And I don't recommend them myself because of the lack of respect for leadership that they show. But the teachers don't even see that. They don't even feel that. They just like the imagination, the wizardry, the dreaming, the body, the development of the story, the plot, the development of the characters and things like that. The magic that's in the book. That's all they're interested in. And that it just makes them magical. Now, I bought the series of tapes, which has the book being read by a British actor, and in reading it, he read it in a British way, and he made the characters just come alive. They were a delight to hear. And I said to the group here on campus, I said, okay, no work for 1 week. Every day we will spend 4 or 5 hours listening to these tapes. And we listened to all four books of the time of Harry Potter. And everybody here just couldn't wait for it to continue because the books were so fascinating and so beautifully done and so marvelously done. Now, if this woman had allowed herself to be inhibited on letting her fantasy go, Harry Potter would have never seen the light of day, as is true for so many things. Now, if Bill Gates had been so fundamental in his way of thinking that he felt that he could continue school and get his degrees and so forth, and his dream could come later. This DOS program that he worked with would come later and other things. We'd never have Microsoft as we have it today. We would have perhaps other things because it is a natural development of time and place, but we wouldn't have these things. Magic. Our magic thoughts, and our magic thoughts are our own thoughts. Our magic thoughts are who we really are. It's that dream that's within us. It's that wonderment within us, that reality within us. Who are you? Now, I say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, you're terrible when you get on the telephone. You act just like the people calling shouldn't call. You say, goodbye. And you hang up before they even have a chance to tell you what they're saying. She calls us up. She's in the hospital. She says, well, goodbye. And we haven't even gotten done asking her how she is and when she's going to come home and other things like that. And goodbye. You know, boom, boom, boom. She just has no time for it. But then put her on the computer and have her write an article. And her article is from beginning to end, well-balanced, well-organized, informational, and interesting. And it has some interesting little sidelights in it that add a little charm to it. A very, very lovely thing. And now, why doesn't she have that same thing with her, so to speak, telephone manners? Well, she's never learned telephone manners. In all the years she's been on campus, she has done very little answering the phone. And she and other people are always answering and doing it. She's not done too much of it. And if she has done it, and we don't know about it, she's been curt with the people that she spoke to, and that's unfortunate. We are a love-centered organization, and we love everyone who calls, even if they're irritating, even if they're a bothersome to us. We give them our love and attention, you know, even the marketing, direct marketing. Have a good day, bye, you know. But we are loving to them. We don't tell, you stupid so-and-so's, don't ever call my number again or what have you. That doesn't make us happy, doesn't make them happy. But give them a blessing, and then it makes both of you happy. So, you see, you've learned a little bit of magic in writing. And Ellen was learning magic in writing, but she got tired of the art of writing. She got tired of the art of writing because I said, Ellen, rewrite this article, rewrite this article, rewrite this article. And each time she rewrote it with a lot of magic, with a lot of imagination and so forth, but she missed certain areas. And I said, rewrite. Now, Ellen today could be a fabulous writer if she had followed the course all the way through. But she didn't do that, and she can still do that. But what is it that she missed out on? Well, she missed out on letting the flow go. She missed out on letting the imagination go. She missed out on being herself and having fun in her writing. The grammar and the details like that, that can all be handled easily. But unless you have the flow going, when Ellen tells a story, the story is magic. The story is fascinating and delightful. But when Ellen writes a story, she forgets to put in all the little goodies, you know? She thinks the story is getting too long. Well, if it's getting too long, then that's your attitude, not the story's attitude. If the story needs the space to tell itself, then you give it to it. Now, Sylvia, she has learned how to tell stories in a very short, concise way and get all the details in and do it well. Now, that's an art. Now, she's learned that art fairly well. But Sylvia has no interest in writing. She has no interest in doing these things. I asked her, Sylvia, write me some articles. Sylvia, write me some articles so I can look at them. Sylvia, write me some articles. And she doesn't do it. I say, Ingeborg, write me some articles. I'd like to see them. Write me some articles. Well, I got too many other things to do. You don't have to go to sleep at night. You can write them, you know, while you're sleeping, you know, when you're supposed to be sleeping. Do that. And I say the same to Ellen. Write me some articles. Well, I don't see any articles from these people. They have the opportunity to, thoughts are things, and I make my thoughts magic ones. They have the opportunity to take their magic thoughts and put them down on paper and publish them for the world to see. And when they do this, they're great. Now, while I'm gone in Europe and Nigeria and where have you, they get on the internet here and put talks on. And some of their talks are just delightful. But most of their talks are just fillers, something that they use to fill up time. Instead of getting in there and getting excited about something, getting excited about anything, any idea, and telling the people about it. It's wonderful. Now, Sylvia told us a joke about cold water. And in telling the joke, she made it very concise and very complete. It was somebody else's joke, but nonetheless, she told it, and she remembered it, and she gave it very well. Now, our newcomer to the joke, Sybil, was listening there, and she was listening there, and she was listening there, and she had a preconceived idea of what the ending was going to be. And her preconceived idea was smashed to smithereens when the ending came. She said, oh, what a surprise! What a surprise, and never once dreaming that that might be the surprise. And this is logical. None of us did either when we first heard it. And it's a great one. All right, Sylvia, tell us the joke about cold water. Come.
Okay. Well, a young man was on his way to do business in the deep south, and as his grandpa lived down there, he thought, well, I might just stop and visit with grandpa. So he did, and grandpa naturally said, well, eat dinner with me and then stay overnight. And so he ate dinner with him, and while he was sitting there, he saw that the dishes and the cutlery they were using was kind of clean. But still, there was rest of food in on the cutlery and on the plates. And he mentioned it to Grandpa, and Grandpa said, well, that's just as clean as it gets with cold water. And when they ate breakfast, it was just the same again. Plates kind of dirty, cutlery kind of dirty, Grandpa said. Well, dishes are as clean as cold water gets them. And so the grandson thought, no, so be it. He's probably right. That's just what it is. So he said goodbye and went to the door where Grandpa's dog jumped up on him, you know, to say goodbye and how nice it was to have had him and so on. And while he was jumping up on him, Grandpa shouted from the kitchen, "Cold water, get down. You're not supposed to jump on people." So that's the story of cold water and how clean the dishes get.
Now, it's not a matter of the joke. The joke was good, too. But it's a matter of how she tell it. She told it with a certain savoir-faire, a certain flair, a certain magic, and the magic made the joke even more exciting. Now, she could have done better. She could have done better by being a little more clear about the dishes and so forth. She could have said the dishes were clean in one area and not clean in another area, and how do you get dishes clean in one area and not in another area? And how do you get food left in the tongs of the fork and things like that, you know, little pieces of food. It wasn't bad, you know. It looked like somebody had really tried to clean them very well. But Grandpa, how come the dishes are not really spick and span? And he said, well, it's good as cold water gets them. And then the story goes on from there. But you want to wrap a little bit of your personal magic in there. Though you heard the joke from somebody else, and though you tell their joke and do their thing, now it's yours. Now it's your thing, and you wrap your own pure wonderment in it, you know. And Sylvia could just as well have said, I live in America, which is such a first world country. It's just wonderful. Everything is perfect here. And I went to visit my dad in Switzerland. And we thought Switzerland was pretty good too, you know. But as I was visiting with my dad, I stayed at his house overnight and had dinner with him. And I said, Dad, how come your dishes aren't clean? They look like they're not taken care of. And Dad says, well, that's just good as cold water gets it, you know. And okay. I said, Dad, you know, you're all right, but you really should work on these dishes for a little more sanitation on that, you know. And Dad says, you don't know the half of it, you know. And so, you know, she goes on with her story and makes fun with her dad, you know. And then in the morning, again, the dishes are kind of clean, and they're like somebody had taken a washcloth and swooshed it across it, you know, and done it pretty good. And again, she asked her dad, she said, how come, Willie? How come, you know, the dishes are so, they look like you just put a rag across it and didn't do anything. Well, that's as clean as cold water gets it. And then Sylvia was ready to leave. She was going out to her rental car, and she walked out the door, and she says, Dad, you have the nicest dog here. He is just so friendly. He's jumping all over me, but I'm used to that. We have Rex at home. He does that. But, you know, your dog is so friendly. And her father said, come. Hey, cold water, don't jump on people like that. Or something like that. But you see, wrap it in your own tale. Wrap it in your own story. Wrap it in your own words. Wrap it in your own life. Because it's obviously, when you tell a story about somebody else in the deep south that you don't even know about. Of course, Charlie told it, and he told it well. But he heard it from somebody, and that's what he heard. And Charlie doesn't change stories. He tells them as he hears them. And that's beautiful. Now, we all have the opportunity to make our thoughts magic, if we wish. And we only make our thoughts magic when we let ourselves get into those thoughts. Now, the lady who wrote Harry Potter let her own self get into those thoughts. That was her. That was her, her nature, her fantasy, her magic. And every one of those characters was a portion of her being. And this is what we are. And this is what our life should be, a portion of our being, a portion of our majesty, a portion of our magic. And When we realize that, then thoughts are things, and I make my thoughts magic ones. And this is what each of us should do, because it's our privilege to be bombastic. It's our privilege to be wild thought thinkers and just have amazing thoughts and amazing ideas. And we, in Nigeria, at the Villa of God Unlimited, we were sitting out on the patio, and the beautiful trees loaded with flowers were all around us, and fruits and so forth. And there on the patio, Michael brought out a jump rope. And so Michael stood there and jumped rope. And so then everybody else had to jump rope. And some of them jumped rope very nicely, and some of them tried to be very, very significant. And when they did, they fell flat on their face. But everybody who just jumped with natural joy and peace in themselves were wonderful. But those who were thinking they were better than other people, they fell on their faces. And this is what happens to us in life. Just play the game in the area that you know is best, and then let the magic do the rest. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.